Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTB comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, truvysalonandspa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Watching was Fox News. He is using Fox News as a state news source. Now we see this in other locations across the world. China, Venezuela. Authoritarian regimes have state-run presses. Not here in America. Here in America, we have the right to vote. We have the right to assemble. We have the freedom of speech, and we have the freedom of the media and press, but not under this governor's watch. This governor has taken every opportunity to suppress our vote, to suppress our right to protest.
Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
This is good news for Will.
Why? What do you mean?
That is a tweet that it would be very believable that Galvin would write it. I think I know Galvin's style a little bit better. That's why I didn't think it was him. Definitely a tweet that I would write, and it was Will. So it leads me to believe that Will is the next generation of greatness on this radio station.
How do you like that?
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Pete Holmes. I'm a comedian. I'm with my boy, Will. You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast, because you're smart.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Mommy! Can I go on in? Kill tonight!
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com. Sunshine 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg. Welcome to the program. My name's Will Koontz, and happy Mother's Day, moms out there. Didn't make the same mistake with my mother that I did for her birthday. If you listened to the show a few months ago, where I ruined her birthday. Said whatever you want. So I'm sure we ended up at Outback Steakhouse, and I'm sure it was a very pleasant meal and a great time had by all. 813-693-2124-HMBRadio.com. Home_made_man on Instagram and Twitter. Radio St. Pete, all one word, is how you get a hold of Radio St. Pete. How are you? That was at the beginning of that intro was Nikki Freed. She's the Agriculture Commissioner, I think. I'm saying it like that because I don't know. I know that she is not a big fan of Governor Ronnie D, and she let it be known in a press conference right after Governor DeSantis signed a very similar bill that had corporate press in a tizzy. It was a similar bill that what happened in Georgia, and they freaked out. Corporations got involved with it. All-Star Game was taken out. The MLB All-Star Game was taken out of Georgia because of it. They lost a bunch of money, and these politicians who were initially calling for these boycotts in Georgia went, wait a minute. No, don't take away the game. Yeah, too late. So Ronnie D signed this sweeping legislation this morning, all alone, surrounded by a bunch of cronies in a room, and with Fox News covering the event. And they didn't like this. Twitter is in a tizzy. Corporate press around here is in a tizzy. The Tampa Bay Times is freaking out. And because, you know, obviously they didn't let anybody in. But I thought at the end, I played her rebuttal to it. I mean, she's not completely wrong about what she said. I agree. I think that usually they're on the other side of this issue where corporate press tends to be on their side with stuff. And then they found an outlet that isn't. And Ronnie D used their tactics to get good optics. And they went, wait a minute, you can't do that. Only we're allowed to do that. And they freaked out. And, you know, I don't know anything about this bill, really. I know what Ronnie D says about it, the finger bullet points. And it sounds good to me. I don't really know. I want less people to vote, not more. So for me, this might be a good thing. I don't really know. You know, it's coming through the mouths of bureaucrats and politicians. So who knows? I don't really know anything about the bill. I don't know if it's good or bad. I keep hearing that it's going to make people less able to vote in the state of Florida. I don't understand how. You get your mail-in ballot and you put it in the mail. It supposedly just doesn't allow for ballot harvesting and non-government organizations to get involved and help you along your way in voting, et cetera, et cetera. But as far as I know, as an individual, it's not a big deal. But I don't know. I could be wrong. I'm not really here to talk about that today because I don't know anything about it. I just thought it was hilarious, the reaction from press this morning and Nikki Fried and... you know, there was, obviously, you know, my thing by now is the malfeasance of press outlets. Because I told you my story when I found out, oh my God, these people lie. And I think they do it a lot. You can go back and listen to a few episodes ago where I told that story. I won't bore you with it again. But there was a few, I'm just amazed by how unaware of the world they are, number one. There's this guy that writes for Creative Loafing, and he was upset because Charlie Crist jumped into the race for governor this week, and he was saying, oh, great, now all Florida has to choose from is a lawyer, a lobbyist, and a cop. What do you think politicians are? They're public servants, in quotes. They're cops, they're lawmakers, they're lawyers. That's all politicians are. What's the alternative? A rich businessman who is successful in the free market? We saw how that went, and you don't like that either. So, yeah, they're all cronies and clowns. That's what politicians are. And they don't realize this. And there was another guy I got into, Noah Pransky. I think he used to be at ABC News locally here. Now he's writing for NBCXL. I'm not really exactly sure what that is, but he's another guy that, you know, I follow him on Twitter just to see what's going on, see what's happening. And he's posting about, again, just they're obsessed with DeSantis here because he has a national spotlight on him and very well could be president in a few years, and they don't want that. So they're very concentrated on him. And it is, you know, they're Florida people, so it makes sense that they cover Florida things, but... he was saying, you know, Ron DeSantis is claiming victory over COVID-19 and perhaps too soon. And he's going back to summer of 2019. Now, summer of 2019, coronavirus was in full swing. We were in it. Okay, so he said that 1 year ago today that Governor DeSantis was claiming victory over COVID-19 and ready to reopen the state. And then he goes, well, then the weather got hot in Florida. His second tweet says, when the Sunshine State summer humidity hit, Floridians moved inside and COVID-19 cases spiked 16-fold. Other warm weather states saw similar summer surges as many northern states saw big drops. And he says the big unknown following DeSantis' new ban on local masks and social distancing mandates, can Florida avoid a similar surge this summer when the heat forces everyone indoors and the vaccine hesitancy remains a real challenge? There was something else that I remember that happened during this time. I'm sure if you live in Florida, you remember it too. Do you remember when press screeched about Florida killing us all because we were going to the beach and the beaches were packed? And they were screaming, oh my God, they're going to, Florida's doing it again. Bunch of Florida men are going to kill us all. And he said, well, to be fair, the state's death rate quadrupled shortly after the state reopened in May 2020. And he said, while the permission to gather outdoors was unlikely to have a big effect on the spread, the permission to gather indoors likely did. That's what I'm saying. And I said, my point being, though, is that perhaps the press shaming people for being outside, where we know now is the best place that we should have been to avoid transmission, played a role in people being inside during that time. And he said, no, no, he doesn't think that that had anything to do with it. Why not? The vast majority of people aren't like me and probably you if you're listening to this show. The majority of people depend on outlets like NOAA's and CNN and Fox and other press outlets, corporate press outlets, to get their information. They depend on them to tell them about the world. So where do you think they're getting their information from? If you're saying, oh my God, you're going to kill us, you're going, Floridians are going to the beach, they went, oh crap, I guess I should stay inside. Where was the worst place to be? We found out. So what do you mean? No, I don't think that any, personally, I didn't think that had any effect. Well, of course you didn't. And I told him, I said, you know, frankly, I think that's part of the problem is that there's not a lot of introspection in your industry. It's reactionary. It points fingers. It gets a lot of things wrong. And then it just moves on. Now, it might correct these problems later. It might give a correction in the articles, but it's way too late by then. We see it all the time where these, they issue, you know, a story comes out, boom. Oh, it ends up being not really the case, not really true. And then they go, oh, on Twitter, correction. I'm, you know, editing this piece to, you know, show this new information. And that tweet gets 100 interactions. And the original tweet got 60,000 retweets. And people just go on thinking that that was the truth, even though it's not. You know, these people are concerned, to say the least, about disinformation. They're so concerned about it that they spread it willfully and gleefully. They don't care about disinformation. They want to be the ones who have control and the authority to spread it. That's what happened with it. And, you know, I'm not saying that that was, had everything to do with this. I think we had a new virus and it does travel in waves. But to say that it had no effect, that's just not true, man. It definitely had some. I don't know how much. I don't think anybody could figure that out, even how much. But no doubt that it had a little bit to do with it. At least a little. But instead, they just deny, deny, deny. And the show continues on. 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com. I should have a store up now at hmbradio.com where you can buy yourself a HMB Radio hoodie or a t-shirt. I'm hoping by now that it's up. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm 36 years old, but I am a freaking boomer with this technology, man. It should be, I don't understand. I was messing with it just before I started this. I had to give up because I was going to throw my computer out of the window. Should be really easy. The accounts are linked up. But for whatever reason, I'm having trouble. But I'll figure it out. I'm going to spend my work day tomorrow, Friday. Well, this is in the future, so you don't know. So hopefully by now, when this podcast is released, the store will be up, and you can hopefully go get yourself an HMB Radio hoodie or mask or whatever. I should have everything up there. I found this great website that, you know, you used to have to kind of buy, and that's why I was so hesitant for this before. I would love to have merchandise to be able to sell or give away or whatever. You know, I have the stickers, of course, which if you want one, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, home_made_man. I'll send you one for free. But I wanted to have, you know, have merchandise available. If somebody, I know there's some people who enjoy the program, and, you know, if you want to support it, then you can get yourself a hoodie. I got a test run made. I got myself one, and it's awesome. It's super comfortable. It fits well. It's high quality. And it's one of these companies where you can, you don't have to buy, you know, 1,000 hoodies and spend 10 grand, which I do not have. So it's one of these that they kind of print on demand. So, and they give me a small percentage of the sale. So that's cool. That sounds like a good deal to me. And hopefully, you know, I just really want people to have that stuff, you know, because that's a good form of advertising too. And you get to support the podcast and all that. And I'd like to encourage you to please do go give the show pages a like and follow me on Twitter and all that too. And give HMB Radio a follow on your favorite podcast feed. Give it a 5-star rating. These things are very small, you know, they only take a second of your time, and it really does, you know, help out myself and the show and all that. So do that on your podcast app, hmbradio.com. Let's talk to Anna.
This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is RadioSaintPete.com.
Anna, how you doing?
Oh, I've been better. No, I'm actually doing really well. Thanks for asking.
You're completely recovered from COVID.
Oh, yeah. I even forgot I had it, and it was, it'll be a month ago on the 9th that I first came down with symptoms, but it was a little bit of a slow roll out of it, but I'm 100% back in business, and people were trying to scare me, like, oh, you're going to feel mental fog for a few weeks, maybe even a few months, and you're going to, you know, not feel quite like yourself, and it's totally normal, and I was like, shut up. I'm fine.
I think, well, yeah, and you almost get paranoid because you read those headlines, and then you go, well, I'm kind of a hypochondriac too. You go, do I have that? And then you just go, no, I'm just dumb. It's not brain fog. I'm just stupid.
Yeah. No. I usually when it comes like to things like that, I go, yeah, that's for you, not me. I'm superior. I have elite genes.
Why? Because you're Jewish?
No, no. Oh, okay. It's just like I have a wicked awesome immune system. Not bragging, but it's true. Until I got COVID, and then.
Well, that's true. You did tell me that you never had the flu before
never
COVID.
Never had the flu. Never had a flu shot. I rarely get sick. The last few times that you thought I was sick, that was a lie because I had an interview in West Palm Beach and, you know, whatever. So, yeah, you thought I was, you know, I was hitting the floor and not doing too good. But in reality, I was looking for job opportunities.
Like, that didn't work out, obviously. Yeah, well, it kind of did, and then it kind of didn't. You're supposed to go.
At the end of the day, it didn't work out.
But then you're like, oh, man, I wasted a lie. Because that could have been a lie that you had in your back pocket that could have been used. Because now if you tell me that you're sick, I go, you're lying.
Well,
you're
not sick. That was like a year and a half ago. So
no, I know.
I got more sick tickets in my pocket now. You know.
I don't think so. You just said just now that you don't get sick, that you never had the flu in your 30-plus years of existence.
Doesn't mean I don't get sick for a day or two. I just had never had the flu.
Well, I won't believe you.
Okay, don't believe me. I mean, you believe me when I got COVID, but I was sending you tests and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not.
But that's gone now, too. You had COVID in your back pocket. This used to be, my friend Adam used to do this, where he would forget his lies. Mm. So he would call into he said his brother died, which that's a big lie.
That's a big lie.
That's a big lie. So he said that his brother died. Mm. And then they went, oh, my God, take as much time as you need.
He's like,
and then
right.
6 months later, he called in and he said, my brother died. And they went, how many brothers do you have? And he went, just one. He forgot that he said his brother died
I mean,
to the people.
Is your friend Adam alive?
He is alive.
Okay. I wasn't sure if that was the ones that died. And I'm like, he had an addiction problem.
No, he was just stupid. Okay. You know,
I don't forget my lies. Am I mad that I wasted them? No, because could you imagine if I was given that opportunity and was like, well, I don't want to lie about being sick. Like, in that present moment, I'm like, 100% I'm going to lie about being sick.
That was worth spending a lie on.
Totally. And not only just a lie, but 16 hours of travel between 2 days of going back to West Palm Beach and back 4 hours each way, and I went twice.
I feel like you could have got away with diarrhea instead, because diarrhea could come back, you know, a lot. But being sick...
Well, for ladies, that's probably not the one you're going to want to use unless you want a guy to get away from you as quickly as possible. Mm. Yeah. So even if I had diarrhea, I probably wouldn't tell you that. I'd be like, I have a stomach bug. Like, that's how we ladies covered up if we have explosive diarrhea.
And that
diarrhea.
Just means diarrhea.
It means diarrhea.
Yeah. You said you went to, you had a doctor's appointment. You were just telling me before.
Yeah. I had a gynecologist appointment. I hadn't gone in a long time.
And how's your vagina?
I don't know. We'll find out together.
Wait, they don't know immediately?
No, they have to get... I got swabbed. I got carjacked and swabbed yesterday. Also known as a pap smear. I call it carjacked because it was like, you know, when you have to jack the jack in the tire.
Oh, they have to
do crank it open?
Not spatulas. What is that called?
It looked like a COVID swab thing. Pap
smear.
But did
they have to like put... little clamps in there and kind of open it up.
I forget what it's called, but we were talking about it today. I just kept calling it a carjack because that's what it felt like.
Right.
But the appointment was canceled and rescheduled 3 different times. So this was the 4th attempt. And had it been canceled as well, I would have gone anyways and burned the building down. So...
I mean, I would think you would kind of know the general health just because they didn't go, oh... God, when you got up in the stirrups and stuff.
I mean, it wasn't like there was, you know, like green bile coming out of me. So it was a little bit deeper than that. But although the pap smear was uncomfortable, the worst part was the preliminary questions that they ask you because they get really personal. Mm. And for me, it's not just about answering the questions. I think about the answers afterwards and I go, holy S, like, what am I doing with my life? That's really pathetic. Like, when you hear the answer, for example, the woman first off, she was an extremely homely woman that walked with a cane. Mm. And she was wearing a mask, but she talked like she had a voice box, like she should be in a Truth commercial or something. And every time she would ask me a question, she would take a big deep breath and be like, "So, when was the last time you had sex?" Like, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I wanted so badly to remove the mask to see if it was, like, do you have throat cancer? Do you have a hole in your trachea? Like, what's the deal, you know? And she asked me about my sexual history, and I really had to think about my sexual history.
Did you?
Yeah.
You don't really have any.
That's what I'm saying, is, like, it had been so long when they asked you, they're like, oh, what kind of, first they start off with this. They go, what kind of birth control do you use? I go, dot thing, and they like give you a look of judgment.
Mm.
And they're like, well, are you sexually active? I'm like, not now.
I always do the line because they'll ask me that too, like, are you having sex? And I hate myself for it, but I don't know what else to say, and I do the when I can.
Yeah.
and then they don't react at all.
No,
to that,
because they're doing a survey. They're not looking for jokes.
But it's not even that's the thing. Like, that's true. That's not even really a joke.
Right. But when you say it with that intonation, I think that they, you know, they're like, you're not giving me any relevant information here.
Yeah.
Like, do you actually have sex regularly? Do you not? How frequently?
It depends.
They're just like, dude, we got like 50 people to see and we don't have time for your jokes. Now, I wasn't joking, but she asked me, she said, what's your form of birth control? I said, I'm not on any. She goes, well, when was the last time you had sex? And then when I told her, I swear to God in my life, because she wasn't facing me. She was facing the monitor. I was also facing a monitor, like kind of looking at her. And I swear to God, this was her response when I told her how long it had been. She goes, see her, most of her face, but I can see her eyebrows go like, it was like, whoa, like that.
A lady with a tracheotomy and a cane and a limp is getting it in more than you are.
One of the ugliest people I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
In every way.
Right.
You know, the way she looked, the way she sounded, the way she walked. Everything was bad.
Mm.
Granted, she was old, but she wasn't, like, that old.
Right.
She was not a specimen of, like, medical health, and she's in the medical profession shaming me, you know?
Was this a doctor that you selected, or is this like a Planned Parenthood where you go in?
No. I didn't select the doctor, but it's just one of those clinics that you go into, you make an appointment. I don't have health insurance, and it was way cheaper to just go out of pocket.
Oh, yeah.
And pay.
Pay cash. Yeah.
I just paid cash, and I was good to go. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so she then writes in form of birth control. She had to type it in. She wrote abstinence. Did you know how shameful that was? That was my form of birth control, as if I was like a Mormon teen or something.
Right.
It was
a
really
nun.
Gross. It was, yeah, a nun. It was gross.
You should have just said, can you just write, so it's not abstinence, can you just write pull out? Just so
just
I don't
so I
feel
look cool.
Yeah.
So the doctor thinks I'm cool.
Yeah.
And then she wrote, let me just specify. She was doing me a favor here. She's like, let me just write this in. And she goes, doesn't have, like, no partner presently. And I'm like, thank you for leaving the future open.
A little better,
I appreciate you.
Yeah, because it's not like you wouldn't be down to get it on. It's just you don't feel comfortable getting it on with anybody currently.
Correct.
But you're not abstinent. You're not abstaining from sex.
I am abstinent, but not for...
But not because you want to.
Associated with, like, religion. Like, I'm waiting for marriage. And it's like, I'm not even... I don't even want to get married. I'm just waiting... To wait, because I like waiting, apparently. Mm-hmm. I just like waiting. I like being lonely, I guess.
Yeah.
So I can complain about it. So that was not fun. And then she, like, walked in on me when I was undressing, crutch lady, cane lady, because she, quote, forgot something. I'm like, yeah, that old gag, please. You know?
I just wanted to see what else.
Yeah, see the fried eggs, says the people at work call them.
Fried eggs.
Yeah, they call them fried eggs.
That's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. And then the doctor came in. And she was, like, all business. And even asked me again as if they didn't believe, like, she didn't believe the nurse. She was like, so when was the last time you went? I'm like, the papers are in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're trying
well,
to.
Well, she must have thought it was a typo.
She must have. They're like,
there's no way.
Bubba was saying, we got this hottie in room 3. And she's saying she's, like, not having sex. Like, go check this out. So she asked me again, and I confirm. And then she, you know. She fondled me and violated me and carjacked me, and I'll find out the results next week. So
what did they test for? Cancer?
STD. STDs, and I guess any sort of abnormal anything. I don't know if they can really get a polyp from, like, a pap smear. I don't know how.
I think there's cells.
Maybe there's some cell residue.
Or precancerous if you need to be on top of, cervical cancer.
Right. So that's why I went in. I'm horrible at going to the doctor when there's no issue at hand.
Yeah.
I'm the kind of person, like, I don't go shopping for fun. I go shopping because I need something and I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with going to the doctor. I usually don't preemptively be like, I need to get my yearly annual, or, well, that's redundant, but you understand, annual exam, or I need to get a physical. It's more just like, oh, this hurts, I need to go check it out because I may die, maybe.
Yeah, I have my doctor now, which is a direct primary care type of doctor. It's essentially a Netflix subscription for your health. I think it's $65 a month, and I can kind of see him whenever I want. And he's got these special.
So you don't have to do, like, a copay every time. You just
no copay. I don't pay anything when I go see him.
You just pay preemptively.
It's just a monthly payment.
Monthly, yeah.
Yeah. And then all the tests are prorated. It really is. It's great. And I, you know, I'm approaching 40, so I feel like I need to keep on top of certain things.
Yeah.
Now, so you know, it's not. It's good for just the basic things, but if something catastrophic happened. That wouldn't be great. I was talking about that the other day because I thought I had breast cancer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I had to go. I went to see him, and he gave me a 6-month skin exam because I have some areas on my skin, some, you know.
That might be evolving.
Yeah. So he wants to keep on top of that.
Yeah.
And I noticed when I was putting a shirt on, I had a dent near my areola. right in my...
I know where
right
the aerial here. Is.
Yeah. On. And there was like a dent in there, and I kind of was like, oh, that's weird. And I noticed it for a few months. And since I was there, I went, he looked me over, he goes, okay, you're good. And I said, hey, what's this? And I kind of pointed at it, and he goes, probably nothing, but it might be breast cancer. And I went, oh. And he goes, you know, it's up to you. You can get a sonogram if you want to be sure it's not. And I was like, okay. I reckon I'll do that just to be sure. I don't want to, because I'm not that type of person where
who's
I can
like be able to sleep at night being like, could be nothing.
I think a lot of people can. I think a lot of people just ignore it. They can just, people delude themselves all the time. So they just deny reality and just go, nope, that's not a thing. And they can carry, it's a great trait to have, but
I can't, if you just put the seed of the idea in my mind, in my brain, it's going to sit there forever until I get it resolved.
So I said, no, I got to go get this checked out. So I did. And there was a 0% chance of cancer. I got the results back. So I was like, oh, wonderful. Okay.
So it wasn't like a biopsy.
No, it was just a sonogram, you know, okay. And there was, you know, they're not, I guess, 100%, but there was nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
He talked to the radiologist, and they just were like, no, it's nothing. So I'm like, okay. Because I was thinking, what am I going to do if I have that? That's not going to be included in my direct primary care.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to get, you know, cancer treatments if that happens. I don't know what exactly that would be, but it's going to be a fortune. I don't have insurance. And I was just thinking how humiliating it would be to, like, I'm an anarchist. I don't really agree that healthcare is a human right, any of that type of stuff. However, I do agree that it's an issue that people are using GoFundMe for their healthcare. Like, that's a problem. So I was just thinking how humiliating.
So you don't really have a solution then.
I don't really know.
So you just think everything is not the solution, but you don't have like a this is the best we can do solution.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't think there are solutions. I'm with Thomas Sowell when he says like there are no solutions, only trade-offs.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't have like a best of option in your
right.
mind.
Yeah, no, I don't. Okay. I don't. But I was thinking how humiliating it would be to have go to the promotions coordinator at my job and say, hey, I have cancer. Can you help me do a GoFundMe for the radio station? Like, Will has breast cancer. We got to help him out and raise money for
pink
my treatment.
Ribbon.
Pink ribbons.
Yeah, you're not going to say you have cancer. You got to say you have breast cancer. And
right.
This kind of goes along with the episode.
It would be a bit. It would be like a thing for the radio station.
Oh, it'd be great content.
It would. It would get press and it would be great for them. And
It would go right hand in hand with the episode we did a couple weeks ago about you being gender non-binary. Like,
yeah.
Couldn't really fit in that better.
True, true.
But, I'm really glad you don't have T cancer.
Me too.
I really want to say that word, and I keep telling myself I can't. Yeah. But, yeah, that would be really, really embarrassing.
Yeah, that was another thing that I was afraid of is it would just be poetic justice if I died of breast cancer, just with my point of views and how I feel about things. And
yeah.
So I was really concerned because that's what I think that.
So what was it? Was it just like you got a weird
just a
body?
Dent.
Weird,
I might be losing, you know, I've been running. Maybe I'm just losing weight and some of the fat's shrinking or something.
Okay.
I got fat T's, you know, what can I say? It's an issue.
Okay, okay. Almost like reverse cellulite, you know?
Yeah.
Or like, okay. All right.
I mean, I don't know. Bodies are weird. Just
bodies
does weird
are
things.
Weird.
So
yeah.
I was happy about that. But yeah, I was just thinking how humiliating it would be the whole process. Because it's like either go public with it or die. Those would be my two. Those would be my two options. Like beg people for money on the internet and have the radio station help, and you know make it a whole big thing.
But and you can't just be general. You can't just say cancer because people want to know what kind.
Oh, you gotta if you,
you
do the GoFundMe.
What kind? In that case, dude. Well, then what would be? You just gotta go like testicular. Like you just gotta lie.
No, I think I would. I think you just gotta be honest about it. You can't lie because that sets the precedent of. You know,
but you're not lying about the cancer. You're just lying about, you know, where the abnormal cell growth is.
Well,
but it would
still
be great
form,
radio.
It's still lying,
and,
yeah.
I think that you love the craft enough to know that it would be great
sure.
content and that
sure.
you'd be willing to sacrifice yourself for some good jokes.
I would. Most definitely. But it was just, you know, nerve-wracking to think about. My mental health was suffering for a week.
Segue. Can I ask you one more question before we do segue into mental health?
Yeah.
And we're both physicians, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever gotten your prostate checked?
No. And it's my understanding that they don't really do the finger anymore.
Oh, really?
That they have...
Bubba got violated on Tuesday, and then I got violated on Wednesday, and we were talking about it.
Well, my doctor says that there's a blood test that you can do.
Oh, okay.
For it now, so.
Well, maybe Bubba's doctor just prefers to do
maybe.
It that way.
It could be, my guy's a little younger, about the same age, so maybe he's just got an old school doctor.
Right, that, right.
And figures, I could just check it right now.
Yeah, just check it right now, bend over, drop the drawers, so.
Yeah, my mental health, it's Mental Health Awareness Month. We're breaking the stigma of mental health in this country. And the barrier that I find to talk about mental health is that it's oversaturated. Ooh. It is the stigma. There is no stigma. Everybody is mentally ill. They brag about it online. And even if they aren't mentally ill, they make something up for brownie points. So it's too much. It's not that it's not talked about at all. It's talked about way too much.
Well, let me push back just a little bit because it's fun. I think there are, much like there are fun drugs and there are not fun drugs, there are fun mental illnesses and then there are not fun mental illnesses. So, for example, if we're talking about drugs, it's fun to do cocaine. It's fun to do Molly or ecstasy, right? It's fun to do weed. It's not fun to do meth. It's not
it's probably
fun to
really
do
fun
heroin.
To do meth. It's probably great to do heroin.
It's not fun to do fentanyl. Like, those are where you go, ooh, that's not what I meant by drugs. I meant shrooms, not meth, sort of thing. I think the same kind of goes with mental illness. And it is, like, I know where you're going, but it is really hard to kind of determine who really has a clinical form of, say, depression, anxiety, OCD, because we hear those things all the time. And like you said, people wear it like a badge of honor.
Yes, very much so. Now, I know that you're diagnosed with some conditions. OCD.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know
what
the clinical thing with that was. Now, I was diagnosed with depression, anxiety disorder, a bunch of things as well when I was a child. And I was on antidepressants from 6 years old to 16 years old. One day I just kind of said, I don't feel anything really. So I just kind of threw them away and didn't tell anybody, and nothing happened. I know people can get violently ill. I was just on SSRIs for that time, I guess. But those
for like 10 years?
10 years of my childhood were spent on the whole time on a pill, an SSRI. And, I was committed to an institution when I was 6 years old because I tried to commit suicide at 6 years old. So
do you know how you tried to do it?
Tried to strangle myself with a belt.
Like, I know you've
around
this
my neck
before, but it was for real, real.
For real, yeah. Did the best I could. I mean, I was six, so I didn't really know.
Was going through your mind at all?
It's because it wasn't me that was crazy. I had a crazy family. Okay. And that's what it made me crazy.
Yeah.
But that's when I, got to be a little older. I go, oh, I'm not, frankly, I'm not the problem here. And it's not me. And then I, stopped taking the medication. And I haven't taken anything since. And I've been, relatively fine. I don't have any, I have my quirks, certainly. But I don't think it's anything.
But who doesn't? Like.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, everybody does.
Everybody is kind of weird.
I don't feel the need to seek professional help.
You don't think
anything.
It's interfering with your daily function?
No.
Okay, then you're fine.
Yeah.
You can be as weird as you want as long as it's not, like, ruining your life.
Right. No, and yeah. So I feel like I have it pretty well under control, but it runs in my family. My mother suffers with these things as well, and hers is even worse than mine. And so I it's not like I'm just coming at this and just trying to trash this concept. I just feel like it's oversaturated. A lot of these problems that people claim to be problems are, they're very open and very out there. It's not like there is some sort of somebody trying to push people away. It's quite the opposite, where people are encouraged
to talk
about it.
Again, pushing back a little, but it seems to be repetition of just a few. Like, I don't see anybody bragging that they have schizophrenia.
I do.
Or
go on Twitter. You stay off Twitter.
I mean, Twitter's a disgusting place. Schizophrenia, I usually don't hear. like sociopathology, like psychosis, things like that. I see a lot of depression. I see a lot of anxiety. OCD. Mm-hmm. I see bipolar. Yeah. I feel like those, and this is going to sound, you know, insensitive, but hello, it's me. But like, those are like the cute ones. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think the more severe ones, you're too wacky to
brag
talk
or
about
have,
it
or be savvy or to try to connect with somebody because you're out, you know, driving across country to go see Beyonce because she's your wife, you know, sort mm-hmm. of thing.
Right.
You're too far gone
yeah.
to even have awareness about it.
Correct.
But, yeah.
Correct. So I don't know. I just, there's so much focus on it, much like there's so many other things. Gender dysmorphia would be another one that's very much out there now.
Mm-hmm.
That
trans is hot,
very popular.
Baby. Trans
oh,
is
man,
hot.
Is
so.
It ever? Yeah, so that's one that's much, you know, out there. And I just wonder how much of it is real and how much of it is to say that you have something, so something that makes you unique, and people that feel like they're just plain Jane grasp on to something, and maybe something that's not provable, you know, that's, oh, it's in my mind, so I can't even.
Or if you were diagnosed by someone, but that's just someone's opinion, you know, there's really no test. Like, you can't take like a COVID test and you're like, not even that, that's a bad example, but say like a test, whatever, that you're like, you 100% have an infection,
right?
You 100% don't have an infection, like yeah. you got your sonogram or whatever, mm. you're like, 100% don't have, you know, T cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do that with depression. It's like, do you exhibit this 4 to 5 times a week? And, you know, the to qualify for depression is like a few different things, and they're often on a scale themselves.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's hard to determine, like, you 100% have it. And a lot of times, if you don't get depressed, then there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
And I think that should be kind of reiterated more, because if you go through, for example, a really hard time, or you lose a spouse or a parent or whatever, you lose your job, whatever the case may be, and you're really depressed, there's a difference between being depressed because it's normal versus you have chronic depression, and you could be having the best quote life ever and still you are just down in the dumps.
Yeah, well, there's a difference between grief and, you know, depression, and maybe at some point they overlap.
Conflated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're often like, people will say, I have depression. It's like, no, you're just sad. It's
grieving a loss yeah. of someone close to you. Yeah, and I don't know. It's so, like, we had a guy that called in, and I'm not laughing at this, but I'm laughing at the response to it. He called in and he said, who was it? It was the grandfather of a child, okay? And one of his parents had committed suicide, the child's parents. So either his son or daughter, or the other side, boyfriend or girlfriend. And I think it was the other side. I think it was the in-law. Okay. Am I making sense?
Not really, but...
So he's like, I don't know what to tell this kid. You know, his father just killed himself. Oh. I don't know what to tell the kid. And we're not healthcare professionals.
This is you and Johnny?
Yeah.
He called in to ask you guys for help?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to ask that in a rude way.
No, I don't blame you for saying that.
Why are you asking you?
Well, you know, so people connect with
sure,
people
sure.
that they hear, and, you know, yeah. they have a relationship, maybe even if it's one-sided, they get used to hearing you, and
sure.
you can be a calming force. And you just, yeah, you know, you just got to be there for the kid. It's terrible. We're very sorry to hear that. And, you know, you just got to be there for your grandson.
How's the kid?
I think he's little, six years old, something like that. And so that's tough.
That's kind of, I don't want to say lucky, but
well,
six is, you know, I feel like it would be a lot
worse
more,
if they were teenagers.
Yeah. Where they can fully digest Agreed. What it is, and they're in the know, and because I feel like at six, you're maybe later in life, but at six, you're probably not saying, why wasn't I enough for dad to stick around for?
Yeah.
You will be asking those questions if you're 12 to, you know, plus.
But I say that, and this doesn't even not have anything to do with it. It has to do with, we found out that I was listening to the morning show, and that guy called into the morning show with the same thing.
So he's just looking for attention.
He's looking for attention. So he's got something going on. So
but it may be a real story.
It is. I'm sure it is, but he's having the opportunity now. Like, he's, you know, I hate to say it, but he's interesting. He's got a good story to tell.
Got
you
a
know?
Good story. And sympathy is attention. You know? And if you're not used to getting attention because you are smart or charismatic or, you know, you have a lot of friends or whatever the case, you have a good job, you're famous, whatever the case may be, if you can't draw people in with those things, people will be drawn in if you have a sad story.
Yeah, they have something that,
you know? Yes. So that's a way for people to reach out to him and comfort him. And he's, I mean, maybe he's a lonely guy and he doesn't have
probably
a lot of people in his life. And this is an opportunity for him to get people to notice him and, you know, want to be around him.
And it feels like one of those things that you can't be mean to him.
No.
But you can, apparently, because the morning Mike Calta was not very nice to him and goes, yeah, I heard you call into Drew yesterday with the same thing, and now you're just being an attention whore. And the guy was just kind of like, oh, you know, on his heels at
How
that point.
Was he was the grandfather?
Grandfather, yeah.
Probably so, like in his 60s or
probably,
something.
Probably, yeah. So I was like, damn. And then he goes, oh, he found out, you know, somebody, I guess, tweeted at him and said that he called into Johnny B as well. So he's just calling all the shows with this same story.
Yeah, looking for callers to reach out or...
I don't know what he's looking for exactly. But what do you, you know, like, we can't do anything. It's like, and it's terrible what happened, but, you know, I was like, oh, wow. Like, but it's one of those things, like, you're afraid to... I don't know. It's just like if you make a bad joke,
yeah.
If you tell somebody to frig off,
right?
Well, they have this issue, and then they can get mad, and
yeah,
you know,
or they kill themselves, and then you're like, oh whoops, yeah. Whoopsie.
I don't know. I feel like if they did that, there was something that was something else that wasn't that was going to be on your control. It was only a matter of time, but
sure,
who knows?
But
maybe
you don't want that blood on your hands because of your comment, you know?
Yeah,
I'm still the even if it's like because people always say that when it comes to cheating, like oh well, like if you mess around with someone who's married, you're like, well, they were going to do it anyways. It's like, yeah, but why have the blood on your hands?
Yeah.
Like, that's how I feel.
Yeah, I understand, you know, that I mean? Point of view, certainly. But anyway, mental health.
Overrated. No, I'm kidding. Here's the thing. It's kind of like the same situation we have with welfare, right, or unemployment, where people take advantage of the generosity, if you want to call it that, of the government or something like that. So... do you just restrict it for everybody and say, okay, nobody gets help from the government because a lot of people are abusing the system? Or do you say, listen, there's going to be defectors, but we need to help the people that actually need help?
Yeah.
Sort of a thing. So it's like...
I bet you it's split 50-50 on how people feel about that, too.
Yeah, but just it's like the same sort of situation. Like, do you just start calling everybody out and be like, yours is... that's not a real thing. You just want attention, but you say it to the wrong person who maybe actually does have a problem.
Mm.
That's probably not a direction you want to go. So
yeah,
but like, listen, if you don't have a mental illness, then that's a mental illness in and of itself.
Yeah.
I'm serious, like, because I feel like if you aren't affected by your environment and your experiences, and your genetics, obviously, but like, let's take that out of the picture. But if you've been like heart, like people have hurt your feelings and you never learn from it, and every day you just wake up like it's the first day on the planet and you're not jaded or you're not a little bit bitter or you don't pick up on other people's red flags or anything like that, I mean, I feel like that is a disservice to, you know, your brain to your body, just putting you back in bad situations.
Mm.
So I feel like with more life experience, yeah, you're probably going to have more, quote, emotional baggage, and maybe people think that that is mental illness, but
you're kind of a freak. Now, if you're normal, you're kind of a freak than the culture that we're in.
I mean, normal is such a vague term.
If you're
functional, you're normal, right? Even if you're like, I'm normal, but
well, I wouldn't say that.
I would say I'm normal, but I'm like not, you know what I mean? Like, I can function in my weirdness and my quirks and my illness.
Yeah,
but I can do it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think
I'm not incapacitated.
That's fair.
You know?
813-693-2124 if you want to get a hold of us. You don't have a website yet, do you?
No.
Oh, my God.
Website.
HMBradio.com. Any comments, questions, can go there.
At On a Hummel Radio for me, and have a wonderful day.
All right, that's it. Happy Mother's Day again, moms out there. We love you very much. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, thank you very much. Please give it 5 stars in your podcast app. Tell a friend about it. Tweet it out. @home_made_man. I'm on Instagram and Twitter over there. HMB Radio on Facebook. Follow Radio St. Pete while you're there. Radio STPETE. And Anna is Anna Hummel Radio. And with that, that's it, man. Have a good week, everybody. See you on the Johnny B Show, Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. to midnight on 102.5 The Bone. And have a good week. Yeah, I don't know. Talk to you later. HMB Radio, Radio St. Pete. My name's Will Koontz. Bye.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.